WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tens of thousands evacuated in Los Angeles. Santa Ana winds fanning another wildfire Wednesday near the Getty Center along the 405 freeway. ABC's Matt Gutman says there's concern for areas that have already burned.
In the burn scar areas above Altadena and above Pacific Palisades, the soil there is now hydrophobic. Basically, what happens in these fires, they burn so hot, they cook and burn not just the vegetation, but also the soil and the rocks. It feels like quicksand. And what happens is when the rain hits that, it's like water off a duck's back. It comes roaring off the hillside, and that's what causes mudslides.
Meanwhile, the deep freeze continues in the south after a once-in-a-lifetime snowstorm, temperatures averaging up to 25 degrees below normal. President Trump issuing a rare threat to Vladimir Putin, warning that Russia will face more U.S. sanctions unless Putin agrees to a peace deal with Ukraine. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Netflix is raising its rates again by $2.50 a month, regardless of plan. This comes despite the streamer adding 18 million new subscribers in the fourth quarter of 2024. Why would they raise their rates while adding so many subscribers? You'll love this. Netflix says they have to raise their rates to make more content. Yes, they think we aren't very bright. I would have thought they were using that extra money to fix buffering issues from celebrity boxing matches and NFL games. Suits is proving to be one of the most bingeable shows on TV. It now has a popular spinoff called Suits LA. Clever. The show has just announced a slew of guest stars who will appear during the first season, which includes stand-up comedian Patton Oswalt, Fear the Walking Dead's Maggie Grace, and Brian Baumgartner, who played Kevin on The Office. Suits LA premieres February 23rd on USA. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks take on Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks back home tonight against the Miami Heat at Fiserv Forum, but Miami's Jimmy Butler will not be there. The former Marquette star missed the team flight to Milwaukee last night, so the Heat have suspended him the next two games. Butler claims he planned to take a later flight. He just completed a seven-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. He's made it no secret he wants to be traded to the Phoenix Suns. College football, the Badgers' new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, asked, what's the plan at quarterback now that Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke have both transferred out of Wisconsin?
We went and recruited a couple of guys. Billy Edwards obviously is somebody that we're expecting big things from. He came here not long after I did, and so there's a natural connection there for he and I. That would be the case whether he were new or not. Building a trust and a relationship with your quarterback is certainly something that's important for me.
That's the Badgers coach Jeff Grimes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram will join as we talk with Attorney General Josh Call in the Wisconsin lawsuit against the administration. Also, is the DNC prepared for what's next? Bill Press has thoughts. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 8 above for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5 to 10, and that'll keep the wind chill factor hovering around or a little below zero here for a good chunk of the day. Tonight, 10 below. Tomorrow, breezy, becoming cloudy, 18. We're back to 25 with light snow on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is zero.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Trump threatened to imprison local police if they do not help the feds with his deportation raids. I fought back when Trump tried to do this the last time. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
In FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you as we kick off a Thursday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Even though the temperatures were still below freezing yesterday, it felt like we were thawing out after the bitter cold temps we've been experiencing. A little more snowfall came with the warm-up, if that's what we want to call it. Southeast Wisconsin is expecting more snow today. Let us know how much you got through our talk text line. Send me a message at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. On a Thursday morning, it's only going to get warmer from here. Highs are in the upper teens and low 20s today. Temps will creep above freezing, at least for the weekend. Stu Muck will join us shortly with forecast details around the state. In other news, Governor Tony Evers delivered his State of the State address last night. While agriculture policies were not called out specifically, some other themes stood out that farming communities have been paying attention to. For example, the governor vowed to make child care more affordable and accessible. He also addressed the state's mental health crisis. He proposed $300 million to fund mental health services in schools. If you'd like more updates from the state capitol building, we have a conversation with Representative Travis Tranel, who chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee. He speaks to some of the policy issues his caucus is working on, and you can find that story on our podcast page at MidwestFarmReport.com. On the docket today, dairy markets have our attention as we see larger swings in the Class 3 milk price day by day over the last few weeks. Katie Burgess from EverEgg joins us later in the hour to guide us through that volatility. She also speaks to how dairy has been reacting to President Trump's inauguration and first week in office. Before that, we'll take a real-time look at how commodity prices are trading this morning. You'll also want to stick around for a conversation with music vendors. They have the latest for us on what the top entertainment looks like for the 2025 county fair season.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
As we kick off 2025, farmers across the country are facing a mix of big challenges and new opportunities. From changes in tax rules to the future of trade, there's a lot up in the air right now. And through it all, it's the strength of our farmers and the policies shaping their work that will make all of the difference. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Chuck Connor, president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, breaks down what's happening and why it's not just about farmers. It's about everyone who relies on them every day.
People don't realize that in 2025, we have $4 trillion of tax deductions that are expiring automatically unless Congress takes action. Included in these are many provisions that impact farmers greatly, from estate taxes, the 199A deduction, accelerated depreciation, interest expensing. All these things are getting ready to change unless Congress acts. We're, in effect, trying to demand that Congress take action here and extend these tax deductions on a permanent basis. Otherwise, farmers are going to end up paying more taxes at a very horrible time to be suggesting that. Certainly, we have been trying to pass a farm bill now, and it's, 2 years past due. for crying out loud, it is time to get this farm bill done. And there's no reason. I have been involved in 9 different farm bills in my years of working with Congress. Far and away, the differences in this farm bill are the narrowest that we've ever seen, I think, in any recent farm bill history. There's absolutely no excuse, no reason for them not to resolve these minor differences and get this bill done. And it, you know, it should be a really a very, very good bill, particularly for row crop farmers in this country. And it's time to get that done as well. And I will just say, with, you know, President Trump, he has made a lot of suggestions out there that, you know, some we find interesting, but others, depending upon how it goes, could be something worth noting and perhaps even problematic. And I mentioned, you know, a lot of different tariffs on potential customers for a lot of U.S. agricultural products. We don't want to get retaliated against like we did last time when the soybean market all but got shut down. You know, those are the potential problems that exist out there. There's a lot of, you know, issues with Make America Healthy Again. And, you know, what does that mean in terms of our traditional food production and farmers, you know, growing healthy products for consumers from dairy to fruits and vegetables? And, you know, what does Make America Healthy, where does it fit into that? Those are all, you know, unknown questions, but important ones that, you know, really could impact what's going on here on the farm. And so we, you know, we want to see more details and more information on a lot of those things to determine, you know, are we for it or against it or, you know, somewhere in between, but certainly a lot going on.
It's going to be a very busy and, like you said, eye-opening first 100 days with this new administration to see where those things kind of line up. Do you have any foreseeables or what you see ahead? I mean, we've had the extension, as you mentioned, for the farm bill. Are we going to get it this year? Or what is your input from that side of things?
I think we will get the farm bill done in 2025. I'm not expecting it to be something that's probably done in the first 100 days of the new Trump administration. There will be a lot they will try and get done and press into that first 100 days. I think it's fair to say the president is operating under a bit of a mandate right now, and he knows that that mandate may not last very long, so there's a lot they're trying to get done in that, you know, that first 100 days or so. Farm bill is probably not included in that list, but certainly it is included in the, you know, the must-dos for calendar year 2025.
How will the federal policies really address, you know, the climate change and sustainability in agriculture? What are some of the key things that farmers should be expecting from these upcoming regulations and conversations that you've been having?
I think it's generally safe to say that in a Trump administration, there will be a lot less regulatory activity than there would have been had we had a continuation of the Biden-Harris administration through Kamala Harris. And I think that will impact sustainability and other areas. I don't think it necessarily means that climate and sustainability are going away, but I think we've probably been given a longer runway to see, you know, some of these policies get put into place and you know, percolate their way all the way down to the farm. I think it'll be a reasonable ramp and dare to say something that's probably something we can live with at this point.
What about the expected changes for ag export programs and tariffs into 2020? What efforts are underway in Washington, D.C. to open some new markets and improve the existing trade relationships we have? Of obviously those, if we want to get new, but you also got to retain these relationships. So what is happening there?
We need to make sure that whatever actions the president takes in these, you know, first few days, and I think it's going to be substantial. You know, the president is not sitting there saying, well, you know, I'm going to think about this over the next several days. I mean, he's going to roll out, I think, probably a record number of executive orders, you know, during his first week in office. Many of those could be tariff-related, and many of those could trigger counteractions by some of our current former trading partners that it's going to disrupt agricultural trade. And this is what we're watching and hopefully going to attempt to minimize. When that situation stabilizes a little bit, then I think it's fair for us to begin to move in and then work with our trade representative and our Secretary of Agriculture in identifying where those potentially new growing markets are, whether that be India or, you know, potentially other areas, whether there is some growth, and we definitely have to do that.
And how do you anticipate the government will address challenges related to crop loss, farm insurance, you know, disaster relief issues? Mm-hmm. Welcome to Wisconsin, I mean.
Right. Yeah, it's a great question. I will just say I don't see the farm bill in any way adversely affecting crop insurance, and the change in the control of the presidency and Congress should not impact that. Crop insurance should be readily available out there as it has been in the past, because it is a private-based, you know, insurance kind of system. Disaster assistance, however, is going to be tougher to pass. There is no question there's members in charge of key committees now who are saying the deficit is a problem, and we are not going to pass any more disaster relief, whether that's farmers in the Midwest, whether that's farmers in the Southeast, whether that's, you know, wildfires in California, without some acknowledgement, you know, of the deficit and offsets, if you will, in other areas of spending. And that's going to be very, very tough to pass. And so I'm not betting on any kind of short-term disaster assistance. But the good news for farmers is, particularly going into the 2025 crop insurance is readily available, and I think will be the key risk management tool out there.
And is there any expected changes to research and development funding or anything key there, looking at just technology or ag innovation moving forward? As you know, in the industry, we're always trying to evolve. So that's another key component of helping us to get to where we want to be and reach these goals.
I think ag research will be a key component if we get this farm bill done. And, you know, we're all hoping and praying that that is the case. I just think what sets the USA apart from all of our other trading partners is our land grant system. And it's such a remarkable system for both research, but as well as getting that information out there to the farmer. And there's nothing like it anywhere else in the world. It is our competitive edge, and we need to do everything we can to shore it up. I'm not expecting great new increases in funding because, again, we're in a period where the deficit is kind of front and center. But I certainly expect them to hold their own and do well in any funding debates.
What do you believe is the most crucial piece of advice for farmers as they prepare for the potential changes that are ahead?
Boy, you know, that's a great question. We are in volatile times, and I think probably the best advice you can give farmers at this point is, you know, just prepare yourself for that volatility and what, you know, whatever form that takes. You know, our hope and our challenge at the National Council of Farmer Co-ops and EDGE and other organizations is farming by its very nature is a risky business. And we try and make sure that the public policy side of this does not add to that risk tremendously. I'm not sure we've done a great job in the times that we're in, but certainly one of our goals in 2025 is to make sure that that public policy is not becoming up there with weather and pest and everything else that farmers face in terms of those, you know, uncertainties out there. Public policy should be stable for these producers. It should be long term, and that's our goal.
As farmers navigate uncertain times, Chuck Connor, president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, reaffirms their commitment to minimizing policy risks, stating that their goal is to ensure public policy doesn't add to the uncertainties that farmers already face every day. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. Well, one trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro, and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1,500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio joins us to talk about President Biden's pardon of Leonard Peltier. Also, this shouldn't be a thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
As well, overnight, any notable accumulations that you saw?
There was one that really registered this morning, Stephanie. I see Elkhorn reporting that they had 2.5 inches yesterday.
Excellent. And I think they have more coming, don't they, in southeast Wisconsin?
Southeast Wisconsin is a little more lingering this morning. I look over in Washera County, right on Highway 22, Wild Rose, 1.1 inches from yesterday. Everybody else a whole lot less than that. Racine indicating 0.5 inch. So, yeah, it wasn't a big snowstorm. There is still activity in southeast Wisconsin. The cool front just pulling away from the southeast corner of the state, and that's where light snow is. Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, down into northern parts of Illinois. Not very heavy, not a snowstorm. We don't get a new inch or anything this morning. It's just going to end in southeast Wisconsin. And for the rest of us, sunshine, really a better chance to break out today. Should mention the far northwest near Park Falls, a little lake effect snow may linger for a time this morning. But again, not a major snowstorm. Skies clearing out. We do stay a little more mild today. Maybe not as warm as some of us got yesterday. La Crosse actually hitting 28 yesterday. But we aren't going to be in the deep freeze today. And those temperatures moderate again for Friday. Another Alberta Clipper drops in and may account for just a little snow late Friday or Friday night. And otherwise, more mild temperatures ahead for the weekend and right into next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Allie Streshinsky, a passionate dairy farmer and member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, is part of the next generation shaping the future of Wisconsin dairy. She shares insights on how programs like Dairy Checkoff have supported the industry's growth nationwide.
It's been a great experience as a next generation dairy farmer who started after Checkoff was already in place. I have taken for granted the impact on production innovation and building the Wisconsin cheese identity over the past 40 years. Checkoff has allowed Wisconsin cheese to be sold nationwide. And it can be found in 99% of grocery stores. I've been lucky to gain a front row seat to these programs that are designed to strengthen relationships with both bulk buyers and individual consumers. These programs help to coordinate things like in-store demonstrations, digital ads, in-store sales material, and both earned and free media. And this all encourages consumers to look for that Proudly Wisconsin label.
Learn more about how your Dairy Checkoff dollars are utilized at wisconsindairy.org.
Stu, I joked a little earlier that when you're under zero or you experience sub-zero temperatures, when you get above zero, it feels like you start to thaw out. But really, we might actually thaw out this weekend when we creep above the freezing point.
Yes, Saturday is the day. We may very well be above 32 in a good part of the state. So, you know, all of a sudden things are going to be mild. Sunny skies in store today with the exception of far northwest and southeast Wisconsin with some morning clouds or a little snow. But as the sun breaks out, we will push up. Maybe only just to double digits in the northwest, but in the teens elsewhere. And winds out of the northwest today about 5 to 15. We stay more clear overnight, dropping back to zero and just below with the northwest wind at 5. Tomorrow, clouds redevelop, and there is that snow chance late in the day in the west or into Friday night when some flurries, very light snow may develop. Teens and even low 20s on Friday as winds become south at 5 to 15. And Saturday, partly sunny. There it is. Could be around 34 in the south, maybe only upper 20s in the north, Stephanie. But the mild air trying to build in and sticking around into next week, so we get a little break here at the end of the month.
I'll look forward to solidifying my weekend plans after hearing more about your forecast tomorrow, Stu. Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist. Happy to have him along. Don't forget, we've got a guest from EverAg joining us later in the hour. And also, we'll talk about what's hot in County Fair Entertainment. You're not going to want to miss it.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Tens of thousands evacuated in Los Angeles. Santa Ana winds fanning another wildfire Wednesday near the Getty Center along the 405 freeway. ABC's Matt Gutman says there's concern for areas that have already burned.
In the burn scar areas above Altadena and above Pacific Palisades, the soil there is now hydrophobic. Basically, what happens in these fires, they burn so hot, they cook and burn not just the vegetation, but also the soil and the rocks. It feels like quicksand. And what happens is when the rain hits that, it's like water off a duck's back. It comes roaring off the hillside, and that's what causes mudslides.
Meanwhile, the deep freeze continues in the south after a once-in-a-lifetime snowstorm, temperatures averaging up to 25 degrees below normal. President Trump issuing a rare threat to Vladimir Putin, warning that Russia will face more U.S. sanctions unless Putin agrees to a peace deal with Ukraine. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Abbott Elementary, which should include everyone, will be excited to hear that the show has been renewed for a fifth season. News comes on the heels of good winter ratings and a crossover episode with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that drew over 8 million viewers. The show is about an underfunded inner-city Philadelphia public school and has great laughs. Abbott Elementary airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on ABC. Star Wars might be about to get a little more dreamy. Sure, Deadpool and Wolverine director Sean Levy is on board to helm, and people seem happy with the script. But it's the rumors that Ryan Gosling will lead the cast that's gotten everyone excited. If Gosling signs on, the film will start principal photography very soon, according to The Hollywood Reporter. In other Star Wars news, The Mandalorian and Grogu is headed to theaters summer of 2026. Anyone else having trouble keeping these films straight? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks take on Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks back home tonight against the Miami Heat at Fiserv Forum, but Miami's Jimmy Butler will not be there. The former Marquette star missed the team flight to Milwaukee last night, so the Heat have suspended him the next two games. Butler claims he planned to take a later flight. He just completed a 7-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. He's made it no secret he wants to be traded to the Phoenix Suns. College football, the Badgers' new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, asked, what's the plan at quarterback now that Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke have both transferred out of Wisconsin?
We went and recruited a couple of guys. Billy Edwards obviously is somebody that we're expecting big things from. He came here not long after I did, and so there's a natural connection there for he and I. That would be the case whether he were new or not. Building a trust and a relationship with your quarterback is certainly something that's important for me.
That's the Badgers coach Jeff Grimes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our popcorn pick of the week with our friend Greg Vadney from the Roar Museum in Manitowoc. Then documentary filmmaker Kate Stapleton joins me to talk about her film, which premieres at the Door County Film Festival.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 8 above for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5 to 10, and that'll keep the wind chill factor hovering around or a little below zero here for a good chunk of the day. Tonight, 10 below. Tomorrow, breezy, becoming cloudy, 18. We're back to 25 with light snow on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This message is sponsored by WiscCaregiver.com. People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WiscCaregiver.com gets you started. Choose between two great options. Become a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. Training is free. Plus, earn a $500 bonus. It's easy to start your new career. Learn more at WiscCaregiver.com.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bumping, 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 bumping,
bumping?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
And then Jack Cooper in the safety room, just his knowledge of football and kind of the familiarity, having been here the last year and a half, 2 years.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Thursday morning. Today is January 23rd. Here's what's happening in the old Farmer's Almanac. In the astrology section of the book, it says that it's going to be a good day to either grow or shrink your herd. Here's what I mean by that. The almanac says, according to the moon, it's a good day to either breed livestock or slaughter. No livestock? No problem. The current moon phase is also supposed to be good for brewing beer or getting a demo project done, like taking down a building. That's what's happening today in the old Farmer's Almanac. It can be hard to believe that in just 5 to 6 months, maybe sooner if you're optimistic, Wisconsinites will be out in tank tops and shorts, enjoying the sun and live music, whether that's at a dairy breakfast or a county fair. And while it's hard to see yourself standing outside at a concert today, at least you know that county fairs already have their entertainment booked and ready for you. Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken join us from Variety Attractions out of Ohio. They are entertainment consultants and talent buyers for fairs and festivals. Melissa and Chris tell me what it takes to bring in musical talent and just how far in advance these plans need to be made.
Well, for like 2025, I started in June and July of this last year. So you almost got to start close to, you know, 8 months in advance or a year to get the acts you want.
And we have fairs right now coming up to us that they have 2025 booked already, and they're looking for their entertainment for 2026 already. So it can start as far as a year out, year and a half out, but the acts themselves don't really start looking at routing until that, you know, June, July of the year.
I imagine tastes can change in a matter of a few years, but what is popular these days for county fairs?
A lot of this, the new trend is kind of the red dirt Texas bands that are drawing a lot of interest through TikTok and that kind of thing. But I've been seeing the trends going toward red dirt more.
What does that mean?
It's Texas-based bands that like Treaty Oak Revival, Whiskey Myers, Old 60s, and a new one that's up. It's just Texas bands that have always been popular in the southern states, but now they're moving up north into the Midwest and northern eastern United States.
Your traditional country, but with a little bit of a rock flair, very true to their lyrics. They're a lot of songwriter. They really put a lot of energy into their song and then the lyrics. And so it's touching a new audience because they're paying attention to more than just the radio, which is also very important. So we appreciate you. But like Chris said, it's TikTok, it's social media, it's Instagram, Spotify. And we've had a lot of artists telling us that they're not just knowing one or two songs when they come to a concert. They're knowing the whole album. So that's a new trend, too, is that they're getting to hear everything all at once instead of one hit at one time or one release at a time.
We have some generation gaps here, but all generations are coming to the fair. So when a fair board approaches you, how do you guide them into saying, here are some options that are going to meet a lot of preferences?
And I'm seeing also, I told you about the red dirt music, but also the 90s country is coming back strong with the younger kids. So Tracy Byrds, the Tracy Lawrences, the Lone Stars that had hits after hits, and the fairs are seeing they want a show that's all hits, not one or two hits and then a bunch of cover songs. So they're looking at those type of acts that they can have a whole 75 minutes of number one songs that they've seen.
Is country king, though, the general country genre, does that remain king among our county fairs?
I would say, yeah, with the fairs. You have some fairs that want, like, your tribute bands, or they're getting to that classic rock. And then it just depends on, like you said, the generation gap with the trends that we're seeing on fair boards right now with the kind of the older generation leaving the boards and the newer generation coming on. they're asking for that variety. And so what we do is we work with the boards on what's available in their price range and in their budget, and then consult them on what would do well if they're selling tickets. And then that way they ultimately make the decision. We just help guide them in the direction that would be the best for their fair.
What are we looking at in terms of a price tag?
You know, all your big names, you know, are $1 million and more, and your mid-level acts are anywhere from, you know, 50 to 200,000. But any of your big names are, you know, close to $1 million anymore.
And all the up-and-comers are kind of in that, you know, $20,000 range or less, or even 20 to 50. And then they're growing really quickly. That's a new trend we're seeing, is they're getting really popular really quickly. And so their prices are changing really quickly. And there's also the cost that goes into the production. It's not just the band itself. They got it catering. You have your lights and sound, the stage. There's a lot of different elements that go into putting on a show. And that's what we help our fairs with, too.
The fair needs to be able to confirm that they will be able to pay that bill, though. That's kind of an unknown, right?
Yes, but a lot of the fairs you take weather insurance, because usually your main problem is in the summertime is rain, lightning, that kind of thing. So the fairs are insuring themselves. So if something like that happens, the insurance covers it. So that's a very important thing you need to do now with the cost of the acts.
Sponsorships are really important too. That helps offset the cost as well. So getting bigger name sponsors and letting them know what their money's going towards. So if you can put it towards a specific show, then they're more likely to help you out with that money.
So how are you guys connected then to the artists? How is Variety Attractions that bridge between county fair and celebrity?
Well, we attend all the shows that we book. And that way we're kind of the middle person between the artist and the fair, that to see that everything goes okay that day of the show and everybody gets what they're supposed to get. But we're just kind of the in-between person to be sure the show goes off smoothly.
We've been in business since 1961, and we just have really grown a nice network of people that we work with throughout the country, Nashville, Texas, and all over, that we have those relationships that we can build on and be the go-to person for our fairs, so that they have time to focus on things, the other things going on at the fair, and then we can really concentrate on the show side for them.
Over the years since 1961, there's had to been a standout moment, something that moved you, or a positive story of what bringing this entertainment to communities across Wisconsin or across the U.S. means.
I think what I get out of it over the 33 years I've been doing this is the joy I see when a big name comes in and the fair has 10,000 people there and everybody's made money and smiles on the faces. And I said, that's the most rewarding thing I see over the years I've done it.
That's Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken. They join us from Variety Attractions out of Ohio. They are entertainment consultants and talent buyers for county fairs and festivals.
You see the headlines all the time. Consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
As promised, here's a look at our commodity markets before we talk to our guest from EverAg. From Chicago, grain markets are seeing some slight downward pressure. Cash corn trading down a penny at 483 and a quarter. December new crop corn is sitting neutral at 459 and a half. Cash soybeans are 2¾ cents lower at 1053 and a quarter. November new crop soybeans are down a penny and a quarter at 1045 and a half. Cash wheat is down 2¼ cents at 551 and three quarters. July new crop wheat is down 2½ cents at 575 and three quarters. We're seeing mixed prices for the Class 3 milk contracts, which we'll talk about with Katie Burgess next. The February contract is up 3 cents at $19 a hundredweight. The March contract is down 7 cents at $18.94 a hundredweight. If we look ahead to April, that's trading 16 cents lower at $19.04. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. On the close yesterday, barrel cheese was down 4 cents, closing at $1.81. The 40-pound block cheese down a half cent at $1.77 and a half. And AA butter was down a penny and a quarter at $2.52 and a quarter. You are not going to want to touch that dial. Katie Burgess is the Director of Risk Management with EverEgg. She joins us next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While President Donald Trump's January 6th pardons and executive orders have dominated the news, state legislatures have been hard at work on both pro-voter and anti-voter legislation. Democracy legislation tracker Voting Rights Lab counts 432 election bills pending in 32 states, with 100 of those bills restricting voter access, while 205 expand it. The Wisconsin Senate and Assembly have approved Senate Joint Resolution 2, which would put a proposed voter ID constitutional amendment before voters in November. A Pew Research survey found 81% of Americans support a requirement for government-issued ID to vote, despite its impact on the poor, disabled, and elderly. A New York Senate committee moved 3 pro-voter bills forward, authorizing county voting centers in addition to local precincts and requiring the state to join the Electronic Registration Information Center, or ERIC, to help keep its voter rolls clean. Another bill would criminalize spreading misleading election information intended to suppress the vote. An Arizona Senate committee endorsed SB 1011, making changes to mail-in early voting rules, including when and where ballots may be returned. The Virginia House approved a constitutional amendment to automatically restore rights to people formerly incarcerated for felonies. We'll be following all these bills in the months to come. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on 2-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will review the governor's State of the State address and the Republican response and take your phone calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wang that we've been seeing in the cheese and Class 3 milk price over the past few weeks. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, and that's primarily what we do here in Wisconsin. Katie, what can you tell us?
You're right. It has been really volatile. The past couple of weeks, we've made bigger moves on a daily basis in the spot cheese price than we typically do. Then yesterday, we saw the market continue to fall. Spot cheese prices now at the lowest level since mid-December. And with that, it's led to a lot of volatility in Class 3 milk prices as well. I mean, for instance, earlier this month, February milk was up above $21. Yesterday, it was getting pretty close to $19. So the market's been making some big swings. I think part of that is as we get into the new year, there is cheese out there. And with new cheese plants coming online, we're going to be making more. And so that took a market that was a little bit fired up to start the year, and it's simmering out. So still good prices on the board for the first half, mostly above $19, but off the highs that we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Markets react to things that are actually happening, but markets also tend to react to headlines. And I know a lot of conversations post-inauguration of President Donald Trump Obviously, tariffs are a part of that conversation. I believe he promised 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico at the beginning of February. While that hasn't come to fruition yet, there's still some, maybe some reaction on the impact that that could have.
That's for sure, because when we think about dairy markets, we export a lot of products specifically to Mexico. So to your point, we don't exactly know what the tariffs will look like that we put on Mexico if we do. And then how does Mexico retaliate? So still a lot of questions there from policy. But if it is a big blanket tariff and Mexico does a big blanket tariff back on the U.S., in 2024, cheese exports hit a new record high. And a lot of that was thanks to increased sales to Mexico. From a market share perspective, Mexico accounted for nearly 40% of cheese exports. And so it was a big deal. 2024 is going to go down as a new all-time high cheese export year. So good to see that was part of what got higher prices for dairy producers in the second half of last year. And so if we lose a chunk of those exports, that could definitely be a problem for the market, especially with the new cheese we're going to make this year. So we're watching it very carefully. And I think you're right that with the uncertainty about what is going to happen from a policy perspective, that's likely part of the volatility we see in the market right now.
As President Trump starts his presidency and starts taking action on a few things, is there anything else that you're paying attention to, you know, actions he's already taken or that he's promised to take in his first 100 days?
Yeah, I think also kind of carefully watching what happens with the kind of any sort of food policy, just because that's going to impact commodity prices down the line. Obviously, avian influenza has had a decent-sized impact on the dairy industry, so watching how the new administration deals with tracking of avian influenza. And then another policy thing outside of, not related to President Trump's inauguration, but also just last week, USDA announced that the federal orders were approved in all regions of the U.S. So starting in June, we're going to have some new milk pricing formulas as well, updated. And so that could impact how prices move and how processors and co-ops pay dairy producers. So yeah, a lot of moving pieces as we kick off 2025.
Yeah, thank you for that. So with the federal milk marketing order change, Class 3 milk is expected to take some loss after those changes kick in on June 1st. From a risk management perspective, is there anything a producer can do to offset those changes? Or are we just relying on the market to do its work in keeping prices elevated so that producers can profit?
Right. That's correct. That net-net, it means a lower Class 3 price as the processors can keep more money due to increased make allowances. So on one hand, it's a lower headline price for Class 3. But when I talk to producers I work with across the upper Midwest, from a processing perspective, they've already been giving some money back in their milk checks because, you know, to make cheese is more expensive today than it was 20 years ago. So processors have already been keeping some of that back. So I don't know that it'll be a one-for-one change when it comes to producer milk prices. But other than that, the pricing or the price changes is already pretty well built into the futures market. So there's not necessarily anything advantageous to go do there. But because of the volatility and because of some of these other factors we talked about or risks to the market, we do still encourage folks to look at risk management programs like we have in the past, whether it's DMC or Dairy Revenue Protection Insurance, because there is likely still going to be a lot of volatility as we make our way through the year.
Well, Katie, and that's a perfect segue to talk about the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. Enrollment in that program kicks off at the end of this month. What do producers need to know?
Yeah, this has been a popular question. So for 2025, the Dairy Margin Coverage Program, which is the one you sign up for at your local FSA office, the program is going to run the same way that it has for the past few years, so no major changes. But the question is, should I sign up or not? As we look at markets right now, based on where milk prices are and feed prices, the models are not projecting any payouts for 2025. But that being said, you know, markets are volatile. When we look back over history, if we take the data for the past 20 years, just the program's only 5 or 6 years old, but if we look at the historical price data, it would have paid for itself 19 out of 20 years. And so just given there's a lot of 2025 left, I still encourage producers to go talk to their local FSA office about it. probably sign up for as much tier one volume as you can, up to 5 million pounds. Costs 15 cents a hundredweight, which is pretty cheap risk management insurance. But you get till the end of March to sign up, so I probably won't run out and do it right away. Maybe give it a little bit of time to see what this year is going to bring, because you get till the end of March, but still likely worth doing.
And you can get the right advice by reaching out to Everegg at EVER.AG or give them a call at their office, 608-249-5030. That's 608-249-5030. Katie Burgess is the Director of Risk Management. Thanks for tagging along with us on a Thursday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and this is the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Household income level seems to have little or no impact on how much food we waste. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics lists 417 fatal injuries in 2022 in the category of agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting. About three-fourths of those involve crop and animal production. Farming is one dangerous occupation. Food for thought. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. How expensive does our food have to get before we start trying to waste less of it? The United National Environment Program reports that low-income households in certain countries actually waste more of their food than high-income households. Ag economist Brian Rowe with The Ohio State University has researched this as well.
Some households are very financially focused and need to really think about that and try to pinch every penny because they really have to or it's their nature. Others, not so. So at the household level, we just don't have a uniform signal about the financial penalty of waste being fundamentally important. For some, obviously, it is. Others, it's not consistently there.
Rowe says food waste reduction campaigns might want to focus on that a little more.
Things such as just reminding people and changing simple habits so that they can enjoy those financial benefits of reducing waste, I think is a really big public service to those households as well. Every household would enjoy getting $500 or $1,000 more per year from savings from reducing food waste.
Tomorrow, the multiple reasons to work harder to control food waste on all levels. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll review Governor Evers' State of the State address with State Senator Jeff Smith and Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Kaylin Haywood.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The South struggling to clean up after a deadly winter storm left record snow and now plunging the region into a deep freeze. More wildfires in California, 30,000 people evacuated north of the city, where the Hughes Fire burned more than 10,000 acres. And for a time, there was a fire overnight along the 405 freeway near the Getty Center. That fire now out. Russia reacting after President Trump's warning to Vladimir Putin that Russia will face more U.S. sanctions unless Putin agrees to a peace deal with Ukraine. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov this morning saying, quote, unfriendly actions against Russian assets in the West will not go unanswered. Meanwhile, in Davos, Switzerland this morning, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte.
We cannot allow in the 21st century that one country invades another country and tries to colonize it. We are.